Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
If we could all turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We'll talk about contentment today. I'm supposed to tell them that and then tell the story. Yeah, so. So Philippians chapter 4, we're going to read in verse 10. And before you do that, let's just pray, if we could, please. Lord, thank you that we can be here and that we can open up your word. Thank you for the freedom to do that. And I just ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds to understand what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we're going to read Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 10. I rejoice greatly in the Lord. At last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. So Paul's saying here, this is a thank you letter he's writing to the Philippians because they sent him a gift. He's in prison. So here he is in prison and in need, and he wants to tell these people, thank you for sending this. But he doesn't want them to think, hey, if you didn't send this, I was destitute, I needed you. He's letting them know, I'm thankful, but I'd be content either way, even if I was in need. And I look at that and I think, I really struggle with contentment. There's been lots of times through, like Pastor Tom said here, I've been taking these ministry studies now for, I think, almost 3 years. And I thought, maybe I should preach a sermon. This is a really good message. God's really giving me something here. But when Pastor Tom said, hey, this is coming, we're going to do this now, my mind went blank. I says, well, Lord, he gave me nothing here. This is the worst time. I kind of feel not content where I'm at. So he says, well, you better figure out why you're not content. And I guess, so all I want to do is just tell you some of the things he showed me in this. So I'm thinking, well, Paul says here that he understands contentment, and I oftentimes am not, and it is discouraging to me. So I thought I'd study this further. So we're going to look at this other portion of Scripture in the same letter here, just before that, Philippians 3, and we'll start in verse 10 there also. So it should be on the same page or just the page before. Philippians 3, starting in verse 10, Paul says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold for that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So here we have Paul using words like, I haven't attained it yet, I'm straining, I'm pressing forward. And two paragraphs later, he's saying, I'm content. I'm content no matter what. And I'm asking myself, well, which is it, Paul? Are you content? Or are you straining ahead, pressing forward, and you haven't attained it yet? And so that's what really caused me to think about, what does this mean? I'm straining and pressing forward, and I feel like I struggle at times, but I'm looking to be content. And so in looking into this, what I found, it really has to do with our meaning of contentment. If you look up contentment in the dictionary, it means that you're lacking nothing. You're not looking for any change. But if you look at that word that Paul uses in verse 4:11, that word doesn't mean not lacking anything. It actually means like a self-sufficiency or an independence. And we've kind of added to that word in our language to mean we don't need any change. But that's not what Paul was saying. In fact, he says, not that he's not in need, but he knows what it is to be in need. So even in his contentment, he's in need. So that word contentment, I think, the way we've changed it to mean not needing anything, and we're striving for this point, that's not what the point that Paul's getting at is. We've changed that over time. And so I guess we can be in need and still be content is what Paul's saying. And the second thing that I learned in this is that he's saying that he learned to be content. This also isn't something that comes natural. It's not something that came natural to him. It's not something that should come natural to us necessarily. He wasn't born with it. It's not a gift. If we find that we're struggling with contentment, there's a point. Like I said, I become discouraged when I'm discontent. And God does that for a reason. He loves me, and he says, hey, Alden, I'm going to cause you to be discouraged because I want you to seek me more. I want you to draw near me more. And oftentimes, that's the whole reason that he allows it into our lives. So it didn't come natural to him. He learned this secret of being content over time and through the ups and downs of life. It wasn't really about him learning how to accomplish something. It was about him learning to have the right attitude. And what he's saying is that he's learned the secret to having the right attitude, whether he has a little bit or he has a lot, whether he's in need or whether he has an overabundance. And both are important, Because we can have the wrong attitude. Probably it's easier to have the wrong attitude when we have an overabundance. I mean, you look at our nation, we're so blessed, we have so much, we're so spoiled, and it's so easy to lose sight of who God is. The Israelites did it. Every time they were blessed and every time they prospered, they forgot who did that for them. And God had to bring them through a time of need in order for them to go back to the source that was going to supply those needs. So Paul says, I've learned the secret, whether I have a little or a lot, of having the right attitude. And then the secret comes in verse 13, Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. And that word through can also mean in. I can do everything in him who gives me strength. This was, when I was younger, this was one of my memory verses, and I always took it to mean the wrong thing. It was, to me, I would say this memory verse, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I thought it meant I could do anything as long as I could get Jesus to come along with me. You know, if he agrees, I can do anything. And that's not what this is talking about. And it's a, you know, it's a verse that a lot of people have on plaques in their house and things like that. And oftentimes we look at it to things like, can I get through this? I can do it. I know I can do it because I can do anything. Like, we can accomplish some supernatural things through Christ. Now, the truth is, we can accomplish supernatural things through the power of Christ, but that's not what this verse is talking about either. Paul is specifically talking about here that he can get through anything with the right attitude as long as he's in it with Christ. As long as Christ brought him to it, that Christ is going to be sufficient enough. Not that he's self-sufficient, but that in Christ it's going to be sufficient for him. And that's the wording he's using here. So it's not about accomplishing, it's about having the right attitude and getting through. And the secret is to be in Christ, to be living in him and breathing through him and serving him constantly. It says this is something that's learned, though. So my grandfather used to tell me there are four steps to learning anything. Anything you want to learn, whether it's driving or it's algebra, he says there are four steps to learning anything, and I think those four steps apply here. He would say that first you are unconsciously incompetent, which means you don't know it, but you don't know how to do it either, but you're not even aware that you don't know how to do it. So you're unconsciously incompetent. And then next, you can become consciously incompetent. Now you're aware, you're conscious of it, but you still don't know how to do it. And then thirdly, you become consciously competent, where you can, if you really think about it, you can do this. And eventually, after you've done it long enough, you can do, you're unconsciously competent. Without even thinking about it, you're just doing it. You know, driving the car down the road, you're writing, you're on your phone, you're reading a newspaper, you're putting your makeup on, and you're still driving. You're sleeping, you don't even know it, but you still do it. Okay. Not okay. But you could, because you're unconsciously competent, but I'm not recommending any of that. Okay, so the way that we can, so we might not be aware that we can be content and we can have that contentment, but now we are. And his word, Paul says he was. He learned the secret to having the right attitude, whether he had a little or a lot, and we can too. We can become conscious of that. But then we have to practice it and practice it and practice it until it becomes something that just comes natural to us. And we still will never have it perfect. And Paul didn't either, by the way. Even though he said, I learned the secret, he didn't say, and by the way, I have this down every day all the time. He just said, I know the secret. Now that I've learned the secret, it's still up to us to apply it just like it was to him. And so in times of trial or blessing, the secret is to have fellowship with him. And that comes through a daily walk with him. It's not a regimen where we can just check off, hey, I read the Bible today, I'm done. And I prayed today, done. It's really a walking every day in a deeper sense that means when I'm at work, what am I here for, Lord? It's not just to get this job done. There are people here that are hungry and starving for your truth. So again, it's not a regimen, not something we check off. It's a relationship with him. Means that we don't pursue contentment. Paul said here, I learned the secret to being content, but the secret was to do it in Christ and in, through the strength that Christ gave. It wasn't to pursue the contentment. And that, I really think, for me, is one of the biggest obstacles. I find myself pursuing this. I want to get it done. I want to get to a point that it's all okay and I can check this off. And now I'll be content, meaning I'll be satisfied. And we're never supposed to get to that point in our relationship with Christ. We're not meant to. And so if our whole point in life is to have a relationship with Christ, and we're constantly looking for when we're completely satisfied, we shouldn't be. Paul says it was like running a race at different times, and he's continuing on. And here he is in prison, getting ready to be executed. He says, I still haven't attained it. So we're meant to pursue. God designed us to pursue. He wants us to pursue a relationship with him. But we're not meant to be completely satisfied here on this earth. And that's oftentimes what I'm looking for, is to be completely satisfied. Just want to ask this question as we get ready to close. Why are we so driven towards all these areas of our lives to get some kind of satisfaction, but we're oftentimes content to have a mediocre relationship with Christ? When the whole secret to being content is to pursue with all of our heart a relationship with Christ. That's what's broken in me. And maybe if we search ourselves, that's what's broken in all of us. We just really need to give up and say, it is about you, Lord. I'm going to pursue it with all my heart. And it's not going to be a regimen. It's not going to be I check this off today. I'm going to be in your word daily. I'm going to be talking to you daily and trying to view my life through a lens what you want me to see. So that's what I want us to think about. I think that's it today. So we can close in prayer if you want. You want to do that? Can we close in prayer? I told my son, if everybody clapped, that was out of pity. So thanks, guys. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to just pass along what you were teaching me this week. And I just ask that you would open up our hearts to that and our minds to that, and you would cause us to pursue you and understand that contentment only comes, the secret of that contentment is only in living life through you and through your strength.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.